Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we're closing our Advent season today, and we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and we're going to start reading verse 26, and this is going to be the account from Mary. We've already seen Joseph's account. Now today we're going to see Mary. So I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. And hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, this child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who has said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart here be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So throughout this O Holy Night series, we've been looking at a phrase or a line from the famous hymn. And so we looked at the first week, we looked at the thrill of hope. Then the second week, we looked at His law is love. We weren't able to join together. We had a small little thing posted online. Then last week, we looked at a weary world rejoices. And this week, we take the phrase, His gospel is peace. So before we do that, we have to understand the gospel. We refer to the four first books of the New Testament as the gospels, the telling of Christ's life. If you've been in church circles at any point in your life, you often hear the gospel referred to as the saving message of Christ. Most people would often even point to John 3:16 as kind of the message for the gospel. But the gospel, when it's broken down, actually just means good news. And we've shortened it. But the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, in the song, O Holy Night, we see is peace. So the good news that Jesus brings is peace. Peace. So I want you to think about that for a minute. If you've been out in our community at any point this week, you might be saying, "What peace?" There is no peace at Costco right now. There is no peace in the Ingles parking lot. And if you're waiting to turn left on Highway 29 towards Westgate Mall, you're going to be there for four turns of that light. There's not a lot of peace in our world during this time of the year, is there? You know, we might have peace for a little bit. We might have a family function or a dinner with friends, and it just seems peaceful, and everything's great and wonderful, and then we leave, and all our problems are still there, aren't they? Have you ever been to it? We're going to pretend you have. Let's just say you've been to a church service and you felt a sense of peace once in your life. And then you leave and the kids are arguing in the back seat. Right? And then or the grandkids didn't show up on time for lunch. Or heaven forbid the preacher went too long. And then tonight at our candlelight service, it is probably, when those candles get lit and those lights go down, it is probably the most peaceful 3 minutes of my year. It is just something beautiful about it, and you can't deny that there's something holy, there's something powerful in the air. But then some of us will leave tonight and presents still have to be wrapped. Some of us still have to go buy presents. Right? And then some of you got to get up and cook all day tomorrow. Some of us got to get up and eat all day tomorrow. That's a stressful thing to be worried about. How do you portion that? So if our peace is that circumstantial, if it comes and goes that easy, surely that's not the peace Christ came to bring us. Surely what he came to give us is much deeper than that. In the book that we've been studying, Justin Coleman, the author, he says this. He says that a mentor of his said you should be able to describe the gospel in one sentence or one phrase to people. And he says, here's what I say. Christ has come to save and restore us and all creation. That's it. That's the gospel. The salvation and restoration of all things. And that gospel is peace. So today in our scripture lesson, we don't hear anything about the word peace. But I think we can all say that it's obvious that Mary had a tremendous amount of peace. We know that she's a young, engaged woman who gets a visit from an angel. And I love Scripture, and I love when Scripture reminds us of how wrong we've gotten it in our culture. We paint these angels to be like cute little things. Every time an angel comes to see somebody, it has to say, "Don't be afraid." So I'm thinking this angel looks, kind of like if me and Danny showed up to tell you something and, hold on, don't be afraid. Then the angel not only says, don't be afraid, but tells Mary, you have found favor with God. Now, this is a generation of Jewish people who have not heard from God for a long time. We've talked about that every week. And so to hear that you have found favor with God, that even in that silence, you have remained faithful, has to give you a deep sense of peace. And then the angel says, you're going to have a son. Don't worry about the whole, you're going to have a son. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. And his name is going to be Jesus. Because of her background, because of her culture, because of the Hebrew language, she would have instantly known that baby is going to save God's people. Stems back from the translation of Joshua, when Joshua saved the people as they went into the promised land. And then, not only is he going to save all the people, the angel says, Mary, your baby boy, his kingdom will never end. I'm pretty peaceful if that's what the angel's telling me. But see, Mary knew something I think we often forget. Our peace is not based on our circumstances. We talked about our joy not being circumstantial, right? Well, our peace isn't either. Because even when our lives are falling apart, the truth remains God still sent Christ to create peace between us and him and us and one another. It's the image of the cross. Christ came to restore peace between our holy God and his broken people, but he also came to bring peace between broken person and broken person. It's beautiful, isn't it? But oftentimes our peace goes and leaves. I can't tell you how many nights I stay awake worrying about things just to remember, like, you're not even supposed to be worried about this. Like, God's got it under control. It's all going to be all right. J. Oswald Sanders says this, as peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. So our peace has nothing to do with the trouble that we encounter. It has to do with the presence of God to get us through that. You see, Mary isn't without question. She's asking, I'm a little confused, a little disturbed. How am I going to have a baby? I'm a virgin. I'm confused. I'm disturbed. But once she gets the explanation, there has to be a sense of peace about it. Peace, I think, is something we all long for. It's something we miss from time to time. But it's also something that the Savior born in a manger came to give all of us. Your circumstances, your doubts, your questions, they do not determine your peace. Jesus talks about peace in John 14. It's a familiar passage to some of you. It's a passage that you probably hear at the majority of funerals, especially at their Methodist funerals in the South. Jesus says these words. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place that I am going." And then it jumps down and he says, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace, shalom, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." See, that word peace that we translate, that shalom, is a complete peace. It is a peace over all things. It's not a peace of, well, things are going good. It's a peace that things are going to be good. It's an assurance of the future because God is in control. A year ago, Stacy and I had the privilege to celebrate our 10th anniversary in Jamaica. I know some of y'all know that. And we were walking somewhere one day, and one of the workers there at the resort said, "Well, how are things going?" And we didn't want to talk to anybody. This was our time. So we said, "Good, thank you. How are things with you?" Because that's the southern thing to do, even when you're not in the South. And his response was, "Irie, man." What? I said, "You're going to have to tell me what that means. I ain't never heard that one. Mon, I got. I saw that on Cool Runnings, right? But Irie?" And he said, "It means that," and he was trying to figure out how he was going to tell the two of us what this means. And he said, "What it means is everything's going to be okay. It's all good," basically is what he said. He said, "I might be having a bad day, but it just means that in the end of it, it's all going to be okay." So I thought that was pretty cool. We didn't have anything in common, and we got to go back and tell him that I used him in a sermon. All right, you look it up. All right. But don't we lose that sometimes? That it's all good. You see, when Christ came, it all became good. Once we've accepted Christ, we are restored with God. Through our faith, through grace, we are restored with God. Our job is then to restore ourselves with each other. To allow the Holy Spirit. Now that I have that peace, that it's all good, it's my job to go out to my neighbor and share that peace with them. It's my job to go out and share that love and that joy, that peace and that hope with them. There's a powerful reminder at the end of this passage. Verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Some of you have situations in front of you right now and you feel like it's impossible. And it might be in your hands, it might be impossible to fix. But there will be nothing impossible with God. But I hope and I pray that our response will be what Mary's is in verse 38. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. So she has declared who she is. She is the servant of the Lord. Declaring who you are in Jewish culture is still a big thing. You introduce yourself, and that's how you would introduce yourself. I would introduce myself as Andrew, son of, and then I would say my father's name. So she is declaring, I am the servant of the Lord, and let it be with me according to your word. So God, let it be with me according to your word. So as we get ready to put a wrap on Advent, see what I did there? A wrap. It's a Christmas joke because of... As we put Advent in a bag, because some of us don't like wrapping presents, we learned. But as we conclude this Advent season and as we transition to get ready for Christmas, I hope that peace sets in. And I hope it sets in with me because I don't do a good job of this. I just don't. Peace is not something that I... But just as much as I hope you have the peace of Christ, I hope that other people see it in you. I hope they see it in me. Because they need it just as much as we need it. So whatever you've got going on in your life this morning, Christ came to restore it. And there's absolutely nothing impossible with God. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.